And good morning. Welcome to Supertalk Meridian 103.3 Behind the Scenes. And we do have a jam-packed show for you today. It's going to be a beautiful day. We have Darden North on the phone with us. Now, Darden North's mystery and thriller novels have been awarded nationally, most notably an Ippy in Southern Fiction for Points of Origin. Now, his new book is The Five Manners of Death, which follows Wiggle Room, Fresh Frozen, and House Call. Now, Darden has served on a number of author panels at writing conferences, and he's with us now. Good morning, Darden. How are you?
I'm fine, Rochelle. Thanks for having me on today.
Well, yeah. Well, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule as a physician. Now, I wanted to ask you, first of all, how you came up with the idea of your new book, The Five Manners of Death.
I had heard someone speak about classifying death in the five manners, which are accident, suicide, miscellaneous, natural causes, and homicide. I thought that was very interesting because I had not really thought along those lines. And we authors are always thinking about new plots and new ideas for books, and I thought, I think I can turn this into a novel somehow. So that's what happened, and it just kind of sprang from that direction.
Well, that is so interesting because I've never heard that either, and what a great way to kind of develop around those five manners. Now, I know when writing a book, mysteries have a strong, very strong plot line, but I know that you also have to have really authentic characters that feel comfortable within that plot and that have their own stories. So tell us about how you develop these authentic characters, specifically the ones in The Five Manners of Death.
Well, in my novels and my thrillers and murder mysteries, and I consider The Five Manners of Death more in the thriller genre, I always have some medical characters, but the novels are just not all about medicine, so you don't have to know anything about surgery or medicine to appreciate them. But Dinah Bratton is the protagonist in The Five Manners of Death. I brought her back from one of the earlier novels. She, of course, is attuned to the people who are dying all around her and begins to think something is up when she sees this list sort of being classified. And she's not a detective, you know, she's not a sleuth, but she sort of becomes that way in the novel. She has a friend down at the Jackson Police Department, the chief of police, who you can kind of read between the lines is sort of fascinated or infatuated with her, but she doesn't return that. But she does have to do a little bit of research herself into what the different types of death are and understanding those classifications, because medical examiners are really the ones that use those classifications. Then the police are more likely to call homicide murder, whereas a medical examiner is going to call it homicide, because there are different types of homicide. Mm-hmm. Some is intentional, some is accidental, so it's not always murder if it's homicide.
Now, you've had a lot of characters in a lot, in all of your books, and you've written, is this your fifth novel?
The Five Manners of Death is a fifth novel. The two fives there are sort of a coincidence, but I think
that's kind of cool. So, what was so special about Diana to bring her back versus one of your other characters?
I wanted to write a novel with a really strong, you know, female character, and I work with a lot of female physicians, and I admire the way they're able to juggle their careers and their family, particularly if they have children. And Dinah Bratton is a single mother. So I wanted to show her strength, certainly, as women are certainly strong, have been strong throughout history. Wanted to show that in the novel. She began to develop herself as the lead character in the last book, so I thought it was a natural springboard for her to come out on top here at The Five Manners of Death. She's worried about her aunt. She thinks her aunt may be the one that's committed the murders and wants to hold her family together because there isn't much left of her family.
Do you think male readers will be as connected to her as they are their male thriller characters?
I'm certain of it. I've always had a very strong male readership. I'm a gynecologist, mm-hmm. but I certainly have a lot of men that read my books.
Yeah.
And I definitely think they will. I think they'll be fascinated by you know, what she's doing, what she's having to go through. I have some strong, you know, male characters in there as well. Brad mm-hmm. Cummins, who was a surgeon in my last novel, is back. And the antagonist in the novel, Winston Ivey, is a pretty interesting fellow. I definitely think men will enjoy the book as well.
Is there a romantic interest in this particular book?
There is. I had someone tell me that I did not include enough sex in this book. Oh. I thought that was interesting. One of my advanced readers did. And I told her I'd already used up all my ideas in other novels.
Right.
So that was sort of a joke, but I thought that was pretty good. But there is. And there's a sort of a reconnection between Dinah and Brad as the book goes through. They had a pretty hot and heavy romance the last novel, and that had broken off in between the two books. But the reader will kind of hope, I believe, that the reader will hope that that's going to reconnect.
So do you really want to connect those two books together, or are they basically pretty much standalone books?
The storylines are standalone novels. I certainly want everyone to read all of my novels and keep reading as I keep writing, but they're not I would say that The Five Manners of Death is more of a follow-up story to Wiggle Room, and not really a sequel.
Yeah.
But everyone's looking for good, you know, television material, and we can certainly turn these into a series in a heartbeat.
Oh, wouldn't that be awesome?
It'd be great.
Now, most of your books, of course, are medical thrillers. So do you stay within your realm of medical knowledge, or do you often seek the medical advice of other physicians to fill in the areas that may not be your expertise in the medical field?
Well, sure. And if I'm getting so technical, I think I'm losing the you know, the reader's interest. I don't want it to be so technical that it's something that would not be interesting as far as the dialogue and the fiction and the plot. But for The Five Manners of Death, I did one Friday afternoon visit the state crime lab here in Jackson near the airport and met the medical examiner. He was very, very nice. Went to the morgue, saw the storage room where they keep the skeletal fragments. That was all very, very interesting. The facility is nice. It almost looks like that building on Coma, if you remember that movie Coma.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Sitting out there in the middle of the pine trees. He was a fascinating guy to talk about, and we went to the morgue. They talked about all the autopsies. They referred to these individuals as their patients, which I thought was appropriate. He mentioned that in the hunting season, they do get more skeletal fragments turned in because Mississippi hunters are out there finding these long-lost bodies hidden out in the woods somewhere. He said that this year had been a big crop of skeletal fragments turned in.
Oh, gosh, that's interesting. Is that kind of stirring up some new ideas in your head?
Well, it is. And, you know, just when I told you that, I thought, it just kind of sparked something there. I think we're always looking for new ideas. I keep a list of sort of potential plots with me just in case something really strikes my fancy.
Well, what do you think makes medical and murder, Eminem, I guess you might call it, the perfect couple in thrillers?
The interest in medical shows, I think, is always there. You know, you'll see one or novel take place in a certain city, but then you may have the same exact story in a different city. I think we're all very fascinated with you know, disease and death and dying, and it's always a fascinating story, I think, to really delve into that, because most people, you know, are not in medical careers. There are a lot of nurses and doctors and physical therapists out there. Certainly medical care is a big industry in the United States, but most people don't know a whole lot about medicine, so I think it's fascinating to them. And if I can shed a little light on what really goes on in the private lives of people in medicine, and show that they are just as conflicted of people and have just as much turmoil at home as everyone else.
Yeah.
I think people like to see that.
You made a really good statement about being too technical, or avoiding getting too technical in books like this. How do you do that? How do you know the perfect balance between story and authenticity when it comes to being technical, so that your readers can understand better?
Well, you want to describe an operating room exactly like it is. There's certain medical terms that even though you may not know the exact definition, if you read the sentence, you can kind of figure out what's going on. I really find I just totally know, you know, this is enough. And I kind of take myself back as just a non-medical person. If I were watching that on television or reading it, would it make sense to me? And that's how I do that. And I think that's all you need. You know, if you're writing about some virus that's attacking, you know, killing people off, and that's not what my books are,
yeah,
then you do have to throw in a little bit more technical information there. But I just get a feel for it. I think I know when enough is enough. And then I do have advanced readers.
Okay,
and
I was going to
never
ask
have anybody
that.
Tell me that there's too much there.
Well, that's really important, too, is to have that outside feedback with fresh eyes to look at your work. Now, I'm going to ask you this question, and I want you to be honest with me.
I'll try.
Okay, so if an idea comes up during office hours and you're in between patients and someone opens your door, are you ever working on your book?
No.
Okay.
I do not steal away from my patients or the office to
good to know,
to write. Now, you know, occasionally I get a lunch break or, you know, I may finish the office 5 or 10 minutes early and may have some time. But most of my writing is done on the weekends or at night, or if we go on vacation, which my wife says we don't do enough, I'll write then, keep my laptop with me. One thing I do is I keep a thumb drive, you know, some people call that a flash drive, on my keychain. And so if I have a work in progress, a novel I'm writing, I download it to that flash drive. So if I happen to be stuck somewhere and there's a computer, I can write.
Yeah.
And that's a great way to use your time if you're an author.
So 5 books is quite incredible, especially if you're a full-time physician. So what drives you as an author, and how is it different than in what drives you as a physician?
I used to tell my mother this, that, you know, anybody can be a doctor, but not everybody can write.
Wow.
You know, you can go to school, and you can, if you have an affinity for a profession, you can certainly go and be trained. And I love being a physician. OBGYN is a wonderful career. It's just amazing. It's always changing. It's exciting. And still deliver babies, do robotic surgery. I get to do a lot of different things. And talking with people is fun. But I do think you probably have to have a little bit of artistic flair to write. And most people believe they have a novel inside of them. They probably do. But to keep going, you really have to hone that craft. And I don't care what kind of profession you're in. When you're writing and you go to these writing classes and you go to these writing conferences or you're in that bookstore, you're like every other person out there who's writing.
Yes.
The fact that you have this other career, whether it's successful or not, is really not going to help you necessarily unless with the material. So I think it's been a challenge for me to really hone this craft, and I do want to be, you know, successful as a writer, and I think we have had some success, and we hope this next book, The Five Manners of Death, will really put us way out there.
Well, tell us about the release date and if you've got any book signings coming up and how we can find the book.
I have a website, dardennorth.com, and it actually has a pre-order links to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, to Lemuria Bookstore here in Jackson, also Square Books in Oxford. The worldwide international release is June 15th. Here in Jackson, Lemuria, on I-55 North. I have a book signing at 4:30. I think that's a Thursday, June 15th. We have a signing scheduled at Square Books in Oxford in August, and also at Turn Row Books in Greenwood in late July on the 27th. My son is getting married July 8th in Cincinnati, so we've got that going on, too, so I'm organizing everything around that. I'll be having other book signings in Vicksburg. I'd like to come to Meridian, hopefully.
We're working on kind of an author fest. There's no really good place in Meridian to do really good readings where you can really get to know the author in an intimate space. And we are working on that. And you are one of the top authors that we would like to invite.
Well, please count me in. That'd
yes.
be great.
Yes. So thank you, Darden, so much for joining us today on Behind the Scenes. And I can't wait to get your book.
Well, please do read The Five Manners of Death. I think you'll love it. Thank you so much, Rochelle.
Well, thank you, and you have a great day. And we'll be right back with more Supertalk Meridian.